Well, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this Pentecost Sunday, we commemorate and we celebrate the Savior's pouring out of the Holy Spirit. After Jesus rose, after Jesus ascended, he was seated at God's right hand. And then, on the day of Pentecost, he sent forth the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ sent him down with great power and with great effect. And we owe so much to the Holy Spirit. Just this chapter that we read a few moments ago, Romans 8, is a chapter that is full of the blessing of the Holy Spirit. Through the Spirit, we begin to keep the law of God. Through the Spirit, we learn to put sin to death. Through the Spirit, we become sure of our adoption into the family of God. And through the Spirit, we look forward to the glory to come. You can find all of that and more in this chapter. And of course, there is even more besides throughout the Bible. So much to say about the Holy Spirit, about His coming, about His power, about His focus, about His fruit. Let's always be so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit and for all that He does in us and through us. Now, since we can't talk about all of it today, for this morning's service and in this message, let us look at just one aspect of the Spirit's ministry, and that aspect being the way He helps us in prayer. This may be something not considered so much, not thought of, but it is very important. The Holy Spirit helps believers in prayer. That's clearly the point of our text, Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Let me read those two verses at this time. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit helps believers to pray. Earlier in this passage, Paul makes clear that the hope that we're given helps us to endure. The hope that we have in Christ in the gospel helps us to press on in the midst of many sufferings. And now also, or likewise, as Paul says at the start of our text, likewise, another help is the Holy Spirit in the ministry of prayer. The Holy Spirit helps God's people to pray. And that word help in our text is a very powerful word. It's a word that has the idea of the Holy Spirit laying hold of us and carrying us along, propelling us forward. Someone has compared it to some of those moving sidewalks that you find, especially in airports. I'm sure many of you have seen them, used them. You can be walking through an airport and just walking by yourself, carrying your suitcase or whatever, and just plodding along. But every so often you come across these moving sidewalks, so that as soon as you step on them, zoom, you go forward with great speed. And it's like that, the Holy Spirit ministering to the people of God, taking us along and propelling us forward with great power and great effect. Again, how little we have considered, no doubt, the ministry of the Spirit in terms of prayer. So this morning, let's consider it for a brief time together. The Holy Spirit helps us pray. And first of all, we can say He helps us pray so kindly, so kindly. He's so kind, the Holy Spirit. Because notice what Paul highlights in regard to prayer. The fact that we are weak, that we struggle. If we listen to the text, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. And so Paul is focusing on our weakness or our infirmity, the fact that we are frail, that we don't find it easy to be a Christian, and especially to pray. And no doubt we all can understand that prayer is a struggle for all sorts of reasons. Prayer can seem daunting. Prayer can seem so ineffective. Prayer can seem to be so laborious. Who here doesn't know about coming up with excuses, reasons not to pray. But if we read on in our text, we notice Paul highlights a particular kind of weakness. So the Spirit's ministry in prayer is all round, but Paul zeroes in here to a particular kind of struggle. Notice what he points out. He says, here's something peculiar. Here's something for which we need special help. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Well, isn't that true? Just think of how we all have to learn how to pray. We all have to be taught what to pray. Think of how we teach our children. I mean, don't we do this as parents? Maybe before mealtime, we give them a little form prayer that they can repeat. God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for this food. Amen. And then again before bed, some kind of prayer. What a blessing that we can be taught, that we can teach also how to pray. But now Paul, what he's telling us is that it is not only children who have to learn this. The fact is we can all struggle. We all come up empty. We all have times when we do not know what to say. In fact, it is even deeper than that. It's not simply the right words that we lack, but even the very subjects, the right issues, the right petitions and requests. What should we pray for? What are the points that matter most? What are the things that we truly need God to give us and to do for us and to work in us? Do we even know what those things are? Paul is saying, here is our weakness. And don't we understand this? Doesn't it happen to all of us that we find ourselves in a situation and it's not easy, it's very difficult, and maybe we think to ourselves, we should really pray, but we don't know what to say. We don't really know how to start. It's true what Paul is saying, isn't it? That we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Think here of how the disciples, as they listened to Jesus pray, at a certain point they became aware of how ignorant they were and their own inability in prayer. And so they came to Jesus and they said to him, you remember, they said, teach us to pray. Think too of the context of our passage, Romans 8 and the verses just before our text, Paul highlighting the sufferings that belong to this present time and how the creation is groaning and laboring with birth pangs. And every Christian, too, is groaning and longing for the full adoption, for the redemption of our bodies, to be glorified forever. We're not there yet. We're still in the midst of the pilgrimage, with all the toughness of that, with all the challenge of that. And in the midst of that, what do we pray for? The fact is, we don't always know. We're not always sure. We're not always so clear. Like maybe when we are tempted, for instance, do we say, Lord, take away the temptation? Or do we say, give us grace to resist the temptation? Or do we say both? Or what about when we are sick or a loved one is sick? Take away the sickness? Teach us through the sickness? Or something else? Or maybe when we experience the hatred of the world? Again, what do we say? Lord, take the haters away or change their hearts or help me be humble or something else. And then too, think about how life can be so often so overwhelming and so confusing and so difficult. And it is easy to be lost and uncertain and all mixed up in our motives and in our hearts. We understand what Paul says here. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. Here is our weakness. We don't know. Here is our weakness. But see, here also is the kindness of God, because He sends the Holy Spirit. Through Jesus, God sends us the Holy Spirit to help us, to meet us in our weakness, and to minister to us, especially also at this point. That's what Paul is telling us. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, just to pause here and consider the great kindness of the Lord, the great kindness of the Holy Spirit, the great care that He shows to us in the midst of our real weakness and infirmity. But all right, so the Spirit helps us, kindly so. But what does that mean exactly? With that question, we go to our next point. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer so intensely, so intensely. And here, of course, we listen to the rest of verse 26. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, this is a very deep text. One of the reasons I am preaching it to you, or that I thought about preaching it earlier this week, was that I myself didn't know really what it meant, what it means. And I thought to myself, if I don't know, maybe others don't know either. And so maybe it can be helpful to look at it together. And so that's what led me to this text. And then as I studied it this week, I came to see why I didn't know very well what it means. Because it is a deep text and brings before us a very deep theme. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, the intercommunication of the Holy Spirit and the Father. One thing that's clear is that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. That's what Paul says. The Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, meaning obviously all God's people, every believer, the Spirit in you, whom you receive when you trust in the Savior. He now, Paul says, intercedes. What's maybe new about that is that we don't often think of the Spirit as an intercessor. We're more familiar maybe with the interceding work of Jesus Christ. Later in Romans 8, elsewhere also in Hebrews chapter 7 and in 1 John chapter 2, it's a familiar theme in the Bible that Christ has been exalted on high also to pray for His people, to intercede on our behalf. And so we're familiar with intercession when we think about the work of the Son. But here now also, we're being told the Spirit is an intercessor. Now, this is the only place in the Bible that it is so explicitly taught to us. But what does it mean? The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. Children, that means very simply that He prays for us. When you are a believer, then the Son of God prays for you. And when you are a believer, the Holy Spirit of God prays within you. That's what Paul is saying. This is the help that you receive in prayer from the Holy Spirit. He within you prays for you. Just this is very deep, isn't it? To think about when I'm a Christian, the Holy Spirit in me is praying for me. Who can measure the worth of that blessing? Many times we may say to one another, I am praying for you. And what a blessing that we can serve each other within the body of Christ in this way, when we can bring before God various names, various cares, bring before the throne of grace all these things. That's a blessing the world knows nothing of. But even greater, infinitely deeper is this reality. The Holy Spirit prays within us, for us. And we wonder maybe, what does He pray for? Well, notice here, verse 27, that the Spirit makes intercession for the saints, for believers, according to the will of God. So He prays for believers according to what God wants. So according to all that is God's will. And of course, the Holy Spirit knows what God's will is. He's the Holy Spirit, after all. He is God together with the Father and the Son. We don't know what God's will is so often. Or it can happen that we know, but we don't really want God's will. And so we don't ask clearly. We don't ask honestly and with integrity. It's so different with the Holy Spirit. For He prays with perfect knowledge of the will of God. And He prays with total commitment to the will of God. And so He prays within every believer. Imagine for a moment the Holy Spirit so praying for you and saying to the Father through Jesus, the Holy Spirit saying about different things He finds in you. Maybe different areas in your life. Maybe the Spirit is saying to the Father, here is someone who is not living right in his marriage. Or here is someone who is giving in to temptation, to sin. Maybe with their phone. Or maybe with someone. Or maybe just in their personal life. Someone is not being very devoted to God. Here is a young Christian. Maybe the Holy Spirit is saying, here is a young Christian who is going off the track, who is being distracted by the things of the world, who is tempted to believe that the world really has more and better to offer than can be found in Christ. And so the Spirit is praying, and He is interceding to change that. And He is saying to the Father, let's work on that. Or maybe the Holy Spirit is praying in the way that He is listening also to our praying. And He can tell that we are kind of lost, that we don't really know what we need. Our prayers need editing. Our prayers need refocusing. Our prayers maybe need full-out correcting. And so the Spirit, in His own intense and perfect way, is adjusting and refocusing our prayers so that they come up to the Father the way they ought to come up to the Father. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. But how exactly does He do all that? Well, here is where we find the mystery. The Holy Spirit, Paul says, makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Groanings that cannot be uttered. What in the world does that mean? Maybe we'd understand better if it said that we groan with words that cannot be uttered. Doesn't every believer know what it's like to feel how short we come before God? Doesn't every believer know what it's like to grieve over our stumblings and failings? Indeed, what Christian hasn't felt that? Very deep inside, deep aches, deep cries, deep yearnings. As we think about our sin and guilt, our carelessness still, or our worldliness, our weakness. Oh, how we can groan before God so deeply. And likewise with desires to please Him and serve Him and love Him. The good I would, I do not, as Paul says elsewhere. The evil that I hate, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am. See, he's giving expression to the groans of believers. And this too, of course, is from the Holy Spirit and a fruit of His work. But it is not really what Paul is talking about in our text. No, what Paul is talking about is more than just we groaning. And really, it's better than that. Because what Paul says is that the Spirit groans. The Spirit Himself makes intercessions with groanings. So it is not we who groan that's in view, it's the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. And so what Paul is doing here is he's letting us into the inner sanctum, as it were. He's opening for us that holy sanctuary, that holy... He's letting us in to hear, as it were, the communication between Spirit and Father as the Spirit groans within us, as it were, to the Father. But he does so in a way that is inaudible, with words unutterable, words that cannot be uttered. Sighs too deep for words, one paraphrase has it. Sighs too deep for words. And so we cannot hear it. And we cannot discern it. It's so deep in the Holy Spirit. It's so intensely expressed by Him to the Father. The Spirit makes intercessions with groanings. Why is it told to us like this? Why especially that word groaning? Couldn't Paul have simply said, the Spirit intercedes with words that cannot be uttered? And we'd have said, okay, that makes sense. It's holy communication. It's high heavenly interaction. But Paul uses this word groaning. The Spirit intercedes with groaning. Why groaning? Well, if we think of the context of the world groaning, we read that earlier in Romans 8, the world groaning in labor and birth pangs. And we read too about Christians groaning as they wait for the adoption, the redemption of their body. As we wait in hope for the consummation, there is a groaning within us. So there's consistency for Paul now to use groaning with regard to the Holy Spirit. But even more, with this word groaning, can we say that what it reflects is something of what the Holy Spirit must feel as He lives in us, what he finds in us, and what He feels towards us. Think of all that He finds in us. Think of all the sin He meets with, all the sloth He has to overcome, all the distractions we are prone to, all the waywardness and idolatry and rebellion. One pastor I read said, "No one likes to work in a sewage treatment plant." But isn't that what the Holy Spirit, in essence, is doing when He enters into our sinful, dirty hearts and begins to clean out all the filth that He finds within us? And since that's true, no wonder He groans in a holy way. He groans. Think of Christ when He was standing before the grave of Lazarus, now the second person of the Trinity incarnate, standing before that grave and groaning. The Son of God groaning over the misery that death also had brought into this world. Now the Holy Spirit within believers groaning over the misery, the mess that He finds within believers, within you, within me. No doubt He groans over all that has to be done, over all the confusion that He finds, all the sluggishness. But isn't it more than that? Can we say, indeed, aren't we compelled to say that the Holy Spirit groans, no doubt, also in love and in care for the people in whom He lives? The Holy Spirit groans with desire and longing for us to be changed, to become holy. He groans because He cares. And His groans are an expression of His care. They are unutterable. They are beyond our perception ultimately. But they are being expressed as He lives in us and purifies us. Our own prayers and our whole life. As He seeks for our looking fully and only to the Savior for all our pardon. As He works in us to reflect more and more the beautiful Son of God, His character, His faithfulness. Oh, how the Spirit groans. The Bible says He groans. He groans so unutterably. What profound, what mysterious, what majestic work on the part of the Holy Spirit. For His groanings highlight His love, His focus, His passion, His intensity. He is so much more intent on your holiness, more than you ever are, or I ever am. And He, of course, is the secret to there being any victory, any progress, any glory. Don't we have to say that the Holy Spirit is amazing? What a gift came to us on Pentecost Sunday. And what a gift when we too may have the Holy Spirit. But now let's think of one more question. Because if he prays for us, if the Holy Spirit so prays within us and for us, how does that go exactly? I mean, is He heard? And is He answered? Here we come to our last point. The Holy Spirit helps us pray so kindly, so intensely, and lastly, so successfully. So successfully, meaning the Father hears the Spirit. The Father hears, and the Father answers. Now, how do we know that? How do we know that the Spirit is successful in helping us in prayer? How do we know that the Father hears the Spirit's intercession? How He hears the groanings of the Spirit in and through the souls of believers? How do we know that God so hears and the Spirit succeeds? Well, in the text, Paul does not say so specifically that the Spirit succeeds. And yet, let's notice what Paul does say. Verse 27, "Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we are being told here about He who searches the hearts. That's a reminder that God is always searching our hearts. Every word, every thought, everything is always known to Him. He reads it instantly. Even before a word is on our tongue, we're told in Psalm 139, He knows it. God knows it altogether. God's always searching. And Paul says, now, God knows what the mind of the Spirit is. And that means that He must be able to discern everywhere the Spirit is at work. Also, because notice how Paul says the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And so we have this beautiful harmony, God searching our hearts, the Holy Spirit living within our hearts and groaning within us for our holiness, for our growth in grace and the knowledge of Christ. And the implication is that God is hearing that groaning and understanding it, that it is inaudible to us, but it is not inaudible to God. No, He discerns it and He recognizes it. And He sees in it immediately what the Spirit is asking for. Somewhere I read this week about Dr. Sinclair Ferguson comparing this interaction between Father and Spirit, comparing it to when a loved one cares for a severely disabled individual. Severely disabled, and maybe you and I can't understand the grunts and the groans of the disabled. We can't understand, but a loved one can. A loved one knows. A loved one understands. And of course, the analogy breaks down because the Holy Spirit is in no way disabled. But think now of that interaction of the Holy Spirit, the perfect Father and the perfect Spirit. How the Father hears the holy groaning of the Spirit and He gets it. Instantly He gets it. And how can God not honor the intercession of the Spirit? Of course He will. For the Father loves to. For the triune God works in perfect harmony. The Father, for the sake of the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then again, the Holy Spirit through the Son to the Father. This is the work of God in the soul of man. For man, in man, through man. The work of the triune God. And so that means that yes, when the Spirit helps us pray, and when He prays for us with groanings that cannot be uttered, when He's within us, groaning for God to sanctify and to purify and to cleanse and renew. Maybe in the context of our marriage or in our family life or in our studies or in our workplace or in our sickness and weakness, in our suffering or in our bearing the consequences of our sin or in our enduring the enmity of this world. Whatever the circumstance may be, as God hears the Spirit groaning within us, even groanings that cannot be uttered, God understands, and God invariably answers the cries and the prayers and the groanings of the Spirit, so that we may be sure that He gives what the Spirit seeks for, and so that we may be sure that God's people, one by one and all together, grow. They grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Later in this chapter, we can read that all things work together for good to those who love God. And that good is ultimately that we become conformed to the image of the all-glorious Son of God, so that we trust in Jesus more and more, and more and more also we begin to live like Him. That is happening in every true believer. That's the plan. And God being God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, including also this precious detail of the Spirit's powerful groaning within us, praying for us. God being God is what guarantees that God's work will be done. Isn't this special and amazing? Did you know that Pentecost was so good? And this is only one small part of an infinitely great gift and blessing. And if someone is listening this morning and you still have to receive the blessing of Pentecost, if you're listening and you have to say you don't have yet the Holy Spirit, He doesn't pray for you, He doesn't help you because He's not yet in you, because you've never turned from your sin, because you've never trusted in Christ. If that's you today, then God calls you today. Believe in His Son and receive the Holy Spirit, who will then go to work in you, including to help you in prayer. And when He helps you, as we have learned this morning, when He helps you, then you come to see how kind, how intense, and how successful He is. And you can't help but love this Holy Spirit, together with the Father and the Son. Yes, let's forever love and serve this great, all-glorious, triune God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, here in worship we seek to be quiet before You this morning as we contemplate Your majesty, the majesty of Your person, of Your being, three persons in one God, and of Your work, so great and so complete and so thorough, so committed and faithful, and so suited also to our every need. We freely confess, O God, that we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Many times we find ourselves stuck. Many times we are confused, uncertain. Many times we can be lost and rambling, meandering here and there. Many times we can be completely incorrect. But You have sent Your Spirit also to minister to us in this way, that He will pray for us, even with groanings which cannot be uttered, all according to the will of God. We confess, Lord, that we've not often thought of this, that it can easily overwhelm us, that there are aspects to it we don't understand, but we take comfort and draw strength from knowing that the Spirit prays for us, and that His work is so deep and so intense. And to know also that, Lord God, You hear these inaudible groans of the Spirit. You hear them, and You answer them for the sake of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so all who trust in You are inevitably, slowly but surely, being conformed to the image of the Son of God, helped along in life to trust Him and to reflect Him until the day that work on earth is complete. By Your appointment, in Your estimation, and we are translated from this life into the life to come. Lord, we give thanks for the gift of the Spirit of God. We give thanks for the outpouring at Pentecost. We pray that we may always treasure the Holy Spirit and live close to You, live in communion with You, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, triune God of glory. Help us in understanding. Bless us in further application, reflection, upon Your word and in worship before You. And if we find ourselves still without the Spirit of God altogether, O Lord, grant that today that may change, that we may turn to You, trust in You, Lord Jesus Christ, and receive from You that blessed Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, that You will forgive our sins, even in worship, that You will remember us further in this day. Also, if we travel, grant traveling mercies. And grant, Lord, a blessed day of rest and praise to Your name, and also this afternoon, that we may worship You again. Hear our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.